Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Rodney Boyd, please. Rodney, good morning and how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Great to get you on here as we head into the holiday season and just gear up for 2020, right?
You know, 2020 is going to be a very busy year, as you know, Mark, with so many issues and set against the backdrop of a presidential and state election scenario. So very busy year. Hopefully we'll all take a pause, enjoy the holidays. But in the meantime, a lot of stuff has already begun to shape 2020.
I don't think there's going to be a break for the holidays this year. IG report today. The Durham investigation from the DOJ has come out soon here somewhere. People have already pre-filed bills for the legislature. We're talking about that for 2020. It's just nonstop news these days.
You know, Mark, it's amazing. And for people like you and me, I think that's probably true. But for so many regular folks, they're going to tune a lot of this stuff out, which is why it's an interesting time to have this impeachment conversation, to have all this stuff. Because if you think about most everyday hardworking people, they're not as tuned into this as you and I are. So I think some people will just sort of force a natural break from this stuff and go about their holiday season with their holiday shopping. And I think that's healthy. But after the holiday season and people recalibrate, everyday people, not the inside people like you and me, I think they're going to find an overwhelming amount of stuff that has transpired in the last couple of months, but in particular in the last 4 weeks of the year. You touched on it already with Jeff City, 600 pre-filed bills and counting. You know, people now formally announcing who they're going to run against or for. And a lot of this stuff will be really, really hard to get your mind wrapped around when you come back from the holiday season in January. But I think you're probably right. People like us are going to pay attention all the way through, but a lot of regular folks are tuning out already.
I think Rodney Boyd just called me abnormal.
An insider, actually.
Yeah. There's a key difference there, right?
Yeah, there's a key difference. Guys like you and me, we live this stuff. We read it every day, but you know, you look around, and a lot of people are actually, and I think it's healthy, saying, hey, let's focus on the holidays. Let's focus on wrapping up the work year. Let's focus on family. But in the meantime, we got a bunch of bills that have been filed. We've got some significant races taking shape in the state of Missouri, not to mention the national stuff that you've talked a lot about. And it's going to be a very active, fluid, fast, hard-hitting 2020. I mean, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I talked to Bill Eigel near the end of last week. Might have been Friday, in fact. We talked a little bit about some of the bills he's pre-filed. Lots of things that people are going to be looking at in this legislative session, including what you and I've talked about, and I'm glad to see it coming back, some conversation about putting before the taxpayers of Missouri, maybe in August, a question on whether or not we change the ability to alter the Constitution on a simple 50+1 vote.
Yeah, no, that's a conversation. I believe, and I don't know what will come out of the session because it's a very diligent process. It's hard to get stuff through, but there will definitely be a conversation. There's been some legislation filed. I think more to come on the referendum process. For your listeners, you can either create state law by going to the legislature, or you can bypass the legislature and collect signatures. And this is this process that has been so widely used in Missouri till it almost has become now the approach de jure for issues that are challenging. Yeah. But now the legislature is going to take a look at what that process really entails, how it's being used, and do we need to make modifications to, at a minimum, protect the Constitution and make it a little bit more digestible for people to know what exactly they're being asked to vote on when they get into the ballot box.
Well, I hope that's one of the things. What else is on your radar among these 600? You know, clearly, you probably haven't looked at 600 bills, but
you know,
what are the big ones?
Thank God for knowing how to do the cliff notes or scan the summaries. But I think a couple of them that jump out at me early on are, one, the efforts to take a look at cleaner Missouri, what we're doing there. You know, we've got now, I believe, six applications. So that for your listeners, who might want to still apply. I think the final deadline to apply for the demographer job to draw the district that you and I have talked about, which was embedded in Clean Missouri, is December 14th. I know there are six applications that have been submitted for review by the Senate. So the way it works, you fill out the application online with the auditor's office. The auditor then picks the folks and submits the names to the Missouri Senate for ratification or confirmation, and then they'll make a decision to send it back to the auditor and say this is the person that gets to draw the lines of who represents Mark Cox, Rodney Boyd, and anybody else that lives in Missouri. That process is going to be looked at legislatively, but there's six applications in, so you've got this sort of, the effort is now Clean of Missouri is being implemented, and the effort to figure out whether or not they're going to do anything to make it, to challenge it or change it is also being talked about.
Yeah.
You know, I think another big issue that we haven't really sort of talked a lot about will be what the state will really ultimately do, if anything, on charter schools and education.
Uh-huh.
I know you talked to Bill Igel. There's always been this sort of ebb and flow between traditional education, public schools, and reformers. I think that's going to be a lot more volume on that fight this session. I think there are a lot more people that want to see something happen. So I think people haven't talked a lot about it, but I think it will be an issue that will get a lot more volume this year.
But nothing going so far as like school vouchers or something like that?
We will not cross the – I don't think we'll cross the Rubicon of school vouchers, but I think we will have a very heated and a very, very full debate about ESA accounts, about charter school expansion, about standards for charter schools, about funding for charter schools. I mean, I think
right. You're
going to have all that's going to be a lot of volume. As you would expect with a legislature that's trying to figure out what to do with failing and underperforming school districts, challenges in some parts of our state to schools not even having 5 days, going to 4 days. So it's something that we don't talk a lot about, but I suspect we're going to have a whole lot of energy put on. Not to mention that, you know, we've got the Wayfair case, and we've got to figure out, the state's got to figure out how to implement the Wayfair tax and where that money will go. So a lot of conversations that you and I haven't talked about that we will be talking about throughout the year, probably starting with your first day in Jeff City.
Yeah. True. That's true. January 8th, we're planning to go down there live. You know, Rodney, one thing we've mentioned before is the fact that one of the things that St. Louisans will probably be voting on, and Missourians for that matter, in 2020 is Medicaid expansion. And, you know, I brought this up with Jim Lemke last week. I brought it up with Bill Igel. It's my understanding that Medicaid spending right now accounts for about a third of the Missouri budget. If this thing passes, we're gonna either have to raise taxes or make some serious cuts somewhere.
Well, I think the latter is probably what we would start with, making some draconian cuts. And I don't think that, so for most people who don't pay acute attention to the budget, they don't understand where those cuts would come from. So every time you push some new expenditure into the legislature, something, because of the Hancock Amendment and because we don't just raise taxes to cover stuff like other states, there has to be a give and take. They call it revenue neutrality, whatever you will. But if every time you put some new fiscal note on a bill, you got to find a way to either reduce something to make it neutral or to get some mechanism for the voters to pass a tax to offset those costs. Well, Missouri voters, as you've seen over the last decade, probably from 06 to now, have consistently rejected statewide tax measures, whether it be a sales tax or this for gas or infrastructure or cigarette tax or tobacco tax. So the state en masse has consistently said no. You know, we don't want any new taxes. So what happens then, I think your latter point is what we end up looking at. What kind of cuts? And you know, we talk about budget cuts, people think, oh, well, if you got $28 billion, you take a few million here, a few million there. When you're talking about a third of the discretionary budget, you're talking about billions of dollars, and you're talking about cutting programs or eliminating programs that people also rely on across the spectrum. So this is going to be a very, very important conversation for people to pay attention to. The hospital associations and a lot of medical groups are saying, hey, we got to address this underinsured issue, because that's who's leading the fight now. So in the past, it's been more of a partisan DR fight, Democrat, Republican. This time, you see this effort being led by a lot of the hospital groups saying we want to add this coverage. But you got to back it up, as you just pointed out, Mark, with how you're going to deal with the fiscal impact to the state in a state like ours that doesn't just raise taxes every time a new program is instituted.
Right, right. Yeah, it's going to be an issue. We'll see if that ends up getting on the ballot. I suspect that it will. Another argument for why we need to change the way that's done moving forward. I truly hope they do that, Rodney. Rodney Boyd on the phone with us right now, of course, host of Insider Talk on Sundays here, the radio station. We found out last week who decided to step up to the plate against Ann Wagner, Senator Jill Shoup. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to be, you know, everybody across the country has been talking about this sort of suburban voter, the suburban district, what impact the president, you know, is having on people in suburb. I don't think there's a better district in the country, much less the state, for us to pay attention to. You've got an established, you know, tested and tried congresswoman in Ann Wagner that has survived the blue wave that was talked about last time, that she survived challenges and she survived redistricting. Now she's being challenged by the prototypical person that, she, you know, that everybody says is the next iteration of the blue wave. Jill Shoup is a liberal Democrat in town and country area. She's established herself in Jeff City. The real question, and now what I'm going to be watching every step of the way, is the polling. What happens in that race will be an indication, I think, of what happens not so much in the White House in terms of presidential, but what happens in terms of the congressional makeup. Is there a further advance of Democrats in the House, or does all this impeachment stuff, does all this turmoil and not getting anything really finished, does it have a blowback effect? I think we're going to have a front row seat to see with the second congressional district what really plays out with the broader congressional.
Yeah, but you mentioned the fact that she's a pretty progressive liberal. I mean, to me, she's an extremist when it comes to gun control, when it comes to abortion on demand. I mean, she makes people like Swalwell look moderate. And we're going to hear more and more about that, Rodney.
And there are some pockets in the second congressional district that absolutely do not line up with her political ideology. And so what happens in those pockets, it gets back to what you and I have talked about in terms of turnout. There are some pockets in the district that agree with her. That's why she's a senator for the area that she represents. And some people might not remember, she succeeded a very conservative gentleman in that seat, John Lamping. So that district it's got an interesting capacity, or at least her Senate district, to be in one cycle electorate for John Lamping and the next cycle for her. So I think that district, the second congressional district, is the district that we keep hearing about nationally in terms of watch these kinds of districts where you've got a healthy mix of conservative voters who voted for President Trump and who don't like some of the things that Congress is not getting done. So it's going to be one to watch.
Well, yeah, and again, I know President Trump carried the second congressional district last time, didn't he?
I believe he did. Some fact check, yeah. But, you know, you remember Ann Wagner had a formidable, you know, challenger. It was supposed to be a blue wave, and it was, in fact, the House flipped, but she was able to win her seat by over 4 points.
Right.
So even in the blue wave, she, you know, I don't think very many people today are betting against Ann Wagner, but they're looking at this national conversation and wondering how it will really play out in terms of turnout in the second. It's one I'm going to be watching and probably talking to you about a lot.
Oh, I'm sure. And you know, of course, there's the other brilliance the key is turnout, whether it's turnout in a presidential election, which is huge. But when I talked to Bill Igel last week, the discussion of putting that particular issue on changing how you change the Constitution on the August ballot, you know, you're getting people who are keyed into the issue there and not necessarily people who are just turning out to vote in some other race.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think if we're going to do that, it makes sense to put that on in August because people need to pay attention. That's a process. You and I have talked about, you know, 50, 60 initiative petitions get filed that affect changing the statutes or the Constitution of the state. There is a comment period, and I heard the Secretary of State say this, and sometimes on some of the most controversial measures like medicinal marijuana, like, you know, Clean Missouri, there are no comments from citizens. Everyday citizens have a right to opine, to put comments in on what they think, their opinion, almost like testifying on a bill. And to see that there are no comments on some of these measures is to tell me that It's not that people don't care, because you see that people care once these things either pass or get, you know, on the ballot. But right. It's just during that period, no one's paying attention. So I think putting this on August, allowing people to really understand what we're being asked to do or what this process really means, I think is important.
Well, it's good. Rodney, listen, we always appreciate you, buddy, through the holidays. Have a great holiday season with your kids and your family.
Thanks. Absolutely. Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon. Rodney Boyd there, host of Insider Talk on Sundays.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.